Have any of you ever gotten into an argument? Have you ever taken a side? Have you ever had a political discussion and taken a side? Maybe we don't think about it, but that's sort of what's happening in the story that we have about Baal and Elijah. It's a political argument. It's an argument about faith. It's an argument about who's right. And there's other stories like this, in particular in the Hebrew Scriptures. There's lots of stories about who's right and who's wrong. And in much the same way, there's sort of an interesting thing that happens in the gospel. A centurion who is cared for and seen as being good by the people shames in some way all of Israel because Jesus says, I've never found anyone with faith like this inside Israel. And we miss that. Because the centurion sees Jesus for who Jesus is, and the people gathered don't get it. Not yet. They will. And so there's something about that, in that all of these scriptures that we have today are a little about who's right. Even in Paul's letter to the Galatians, you hear echoes of that I gave you this gospel, and yet you're following this other gospel. And I really think if we listen to what's being said here, there's something important. Because for most of our life, we're trying to figure out what's real. We're trying to figure out where we should put our faith, what we can reliably do. Now think about that for a minute. What does it mean to put faith in something or to believe? The Latin word fidelis is where the word faith or even belief comes from. It is to put our trust into something. Our faith is to put our faith or to put our trust into something. For instance, you trust light switches. Did you know that? Now, I have to be careful because we have real engineers at St. Thomas, so I can't say hardly anybody in the room knows anything about electricity, but there are some people actually really do. So I have to be careful about that. But most of us don't really fully understand how electricity works. We don't really know much about electrons. And we just know as long as the wires are hooked up right and we pay our bill, pretty much everything around us works. It's sort of like cell phones, too. They're really magical, aren't they? You give AT&T, Verizon, or Sprint, there's no sponsorship, by the way, I'm just being clear, you give them a little money and you get a device and you turn it on and it does amazing things. You can even check your bank balance and sometimes you can use it for phone calls. Do you really know how it works? Do you have any clue? You kind of have to believe that that's actually your bank balance. Or we don't always get it. In our relationships, we have lots of faith, lots of fidelity, lots of trust. And in the relationship between someone and their spouse or with a friend or with a colleague at work, you may share in confidence. There's again that fidelis word in the midst of confidence where we might share with them something and hope that they'll hold it in trust. We might believe that they'll do something for us or that they'll follow through. So maybe in some ways we know more about this idea of faith than we really think about because we have faith in lots of things around us. Now, somebody after last night told me I really should have used the Royals as an example in my sermon because people were giving up on them and not having faith that they would actually win the game yesterday. Right, Ron? He posted on Facebook about it. So. But there's something even more important happening here in the scripture. Let's talk about that centurion. I don't know that we have an equivalent of a centurion in our culture. This centurion would have been a soldier of the Roman guard and most likely sent to this region of Judea to hold security for this certain area. And what I mean by we don't have an equivalent is along with that would have come tremendous Roman Empire wealth and would have come a legion or more of soldiers. And this person would have been sent to keep the peace and to keep the law, and in some ways their word and their decisions would have been absolute. If you were to go to Capernaum today and you were to venture around the village, there is a synagogue, the remains of one, still standing with great columns, bricks, and mortars, and you can see all kinds of different things about how the synagogue was laid out. It's not an active synagogue, but it's a ruin. This is most likely the place, or at least another version of it, maybe before this one, that the centurion would have paid for out of their wealth. Not out of some great sense that people needed a synagogue, but to keep the peace for the Roman Empire. This person had it all and was in the upper echelons of society and was certainly not someone who really needed much in that time. And yet, when a favored slave is sick, the centurion hears of Jesus and seeks Jesus out. Not himself, but sends an emissary to say, "Can you come help?" When that doesn't work, sends word and says, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but only say the words, and my slave will be healed." If you go to a Roman Catholic Mass anytime, you'll hear those words right before you take communion. We had something similar in our tradition in the Rite One services. We have a prayer of humble access that we also pray. We don't use Rite One at St. Thomas. It's Elizabethan English. "Lord, we're not worthy," is how it begins. And so this centurion, this person of great power and authority, this person who has tremendous wealth, sees himself as unworthy to be in Jesus' presence. And Jesus says, "Nowhere else in Israel have I seen this kind of faith." What is Jesus getting at? Think about all the things we believe in. Think about all the things you have faith in that might lead you astray. We'd be surprised if we made a list. Anybody ever scratch the roof of their car when they go through a yellow light? You've never done that, anybody? You know what I'm talking about? Or you tap the roof, because what? That means no one will stop you, right? Is that a belief? How many of you have superstitions? Anybody? If you see a black cat crossing the road, do you sort of say, "Should I cross it?" You ever avoided cracks in the sidewalk? These are little things. How many of you have a favorite shirt that you wear when a sports team plays? Yeah, I know. You don't have to raise your hands. We could go on and on about all the different sort of superstitions that we have in our life. And if we're really honest, there's all kinds of times when we're sort of like Baal, and then we make excuses, right? Well, the only time KU loses at basketball is when I watch the game. Have you ever heard anybody say that? The only time this happens is when this. It's just like in that scripture, they say, "Well, he must be sleeping. Oh, no, he's on a journey. He's meditating." That was my favorite, that God is meditating. But then when we find something that's real, sometimes we don't see it. And I think that maybe is what the gospel's about. To have faith in God, to have faith in God is to be willing to discern. It's to be willing to seek out truth. It's to be willing to use the gifts we've been given to find that truth that God is giving us. The centurion knew of Jesus' healing ability. And the centurion sought that out and didn't use the centurion's power, didn't use the centurion's wealth, but used his belief. And I think that's part of what's at the heart of the gospel for today, what it's sort of leading us to. And so if we were to think about healing in our own lives, how do we find that? How do we find real healing? What if, through our faith, we help others to believe? What if when we discern, we discover that healing takes a little work, healing takes a little effort, and healing might come in ways that we don't expect? I remember a number of years ago at my last church, there was a guy named Bill. He's about 87 or so. He'd lived out in the western states. He traveled and was a traveling salesman. He spent his entire career as a single person and spent his entire sort of adult livelihood at life just traveling all over selling different things. He was really good at it. And so he would travel California and New Mexico up into Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Arizona, all those different places sort of out west. So he was on the road a lot. And he had retired into Conway, where I was serving, and he was living in a sort of an assisted living place. It was one of these graduated places where you had all kinds of different levels you could go to. And he had gotten to be buddies with this other guy named Sims. And Sim was also a person who'd been a lifelong bachelor. They had apartments close to each other. And Bill couldn't drive, okay? So I think when you live in places like that, and when you can't drive and you're of a mind you can get out, you find the people that can, right? And you become friends. I've not been there, so I'm just thinking that's sort of like college, you know, dormitory. Same mentality. And so pretty soon, Sim started bringing Bill to church. He'd sit in the back. He wouldn't take communion. And he was always sweet afterwards. He'd talk, and every once in a while he'd donate flowers in memory of his loved ones. And one day he came up and he says, you know, I think I ought to be baptized. I said, okay. I said, you're not baptized? He says, nope, I never was. I'd never really been to church before in my whole life. My parents weren't people who believed in church, and I'd never been, but I've been coming here, and people have been so great and so kind, and they come and see me, and they check on me at the home, and I don't have any family, and says, I want to be part of this. I want to know more, and I want to believe. So we met a few times, and a few weeks later, we had Bill's baptism at 87. It was really cool. And at that church, we had kind of a funny tradition. We had lots of adult baptisms there for different reasons. We would pick the adults up, and then we'd lay them flat and wash their head. Don't ask me where that tradition came from. I never really understood it, because I'd have to get six or seven people to help me do every person. But it was kind of fun. I didn't bring that with me, by the way. So if you're an adult wanting to be baptized, don't worry. So we didn't drop him, which was good. And he got baptized, and he continued to be part of that community, and he continues to this day. As far as I understand, he's still living, and is still part of that community, and he's part of that faith. But I remember having conversation with him. He says, I want to believe. I want to have faith, and I want to have God in my life, and I want to be part of this community. I just never had that. This is how he said it. I never had that gift before. And I know that's kind of a simple story, but I think that's maybe a little bit about what we hear in the gospel. So maybe this week, as you go about your life and your work and all the things you do, is to think about faith and what you believe in, to think about what you trust, to think about how you discern God in your life. And I think we can be like the centurion, and we can have that belief, and we can be humble about it. But then others might hear. There's that rest of that story in the gospel. And the servants went and saw what Jesus had done, and they told others, that we might come to believe. Amen.